All right, good evening. Sorry for the slight delay on my part. I would like to call to order this meeting of September 15, 2020, the regular session of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Brandon, may I have the roll call?
Yes, sir. Okay. Board member Koshera.
Here.
Board member or Vice Chair Clark?
Here.
Board member Coyle?
Here.
Board member Odell?
Here. Glad to see you here, Joseph.
Thanks.
Board member Saleta?
Here.
Board member Wood?
Here.
And Chair Temple?
Here. All complete there on that part, Brandon?
Yep. Yeah. Roll call is over.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Again, welcome everyone. Thank you again for everyone joining us remotely. I'm sorry for my delay. Clearly the mechanics of tonight's meeting are going to be a bit different than our regular in-person meetings. We will still maintain the regular flow or order of business, so the meeting format will remain unchanged. In order to participate, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, yours truly, I'd like to provide a quick primer on how to participate. Everyone's microphone, except for the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you would like to ask a question or provide comments. I will do my best to let everyone know when it's appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. I will probably solicit the help of Brandon on that. If you wish to address the board on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it's appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon. This will open a dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you have the option to raise your hand. For those participating via phone, press 9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced and after I announce the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, Brandon will be alerted to your request to speak. This applies to both the audience and board members. So please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At the appropriate time, I will ask Brandon if there are any hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name and Brandon will unmute your access so you can speak. Please make sure you are not muted on your personal device. Please review the meeting agenda so you know the item on which you'd like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that item on the agenda. As with all board meetings, whether in person or online, the rules remain the same. Please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Speakers will all be limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you respect 3 minutes. Okay, the item next, Brandon, is called to audience. During call to audience, you may address the board on any issue you wish. However, it will not be open for discussion. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual board members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the board may not discuss or take legal action on matters during call to audience. In advance, email requests are preferred. However, at this time, anyone who is participating through video link may raise their hand. Those on the phone, dial 9. Brandon, did we receive any advance requests to speak?
Mr. Chair, no, we did not receive anything in advance.
Okay. All right, the next topic is presentations. Brandon, you want to introduce this?
Yeah, Chair Temple, before we move on, so we did not receive any requests in advance, but it's still appropriate if you want to open the floor to call the audience right now to see if anybody on the line at the moment wishes
to. Yeah, I would like any item that we have tonight be permissible for comment.
And that's fine. But prior to moving on to those items, just the general call to the audience is what we should proceed with at this moment.
Okay.
This is Joe. What I'm saying is, what I think he's trying to say is open the call to the audience. See if somebody raises their hands for call. And if they do, let them speak. If they don't, then we'll close call to the audience.
Thank you, Joe. All right. So Chair Temple, if you wouldn't mind, just for formality's sake, just stating that we're opening the call to the audience.
We are opening the call for audience.
Perfect. We do have one individual with their hand raised. So Mr. Duncan Caldwell, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you at the moment, and then I will turn the screen over to a 3-minute timer. Again, remember to state your full name and whether you are an Oro Valley resident. Mr. Caldwell, you're unmuted, so you should be able to speak now.
Okay. excuse me. Sorry. Are you just looking for unmute or video as well?
I can turn your video on.
Okay. Well, everybody just went black, so if you guys can hear me, that is great.
Yeah, we hear you just fine, so the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I do have it's kind of on the agenda item, so if you would like me to speak to the Oro Valley Master Plan, I can wait, but I leave it to the board, or I can speak now to that.
Actually, under the rules, we have to wait until the item, because this is for anything not on tonight's agenda, sir.
I understand. It's more just a comment to the master plan. So I've been to board meetings before, so this is kind of new territory for me. So if you want me to wait, I can wait. If you'd like to hear it now, I'm more than happy to wait.
I think we need to reserve those until later. Thank you, though.
Okay. So I'll be able to speak as far as to that particular agenda item when it comes up in the agenda?
That should be possible. I believe the chair is going to open those up.
Absolutely. Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. I'm going to go ahead and mute you again, and we'll hear from you later. Mr. Chair, it seems that there is no other individuals with their hand raised at this time. We can do a last call for any call of the audience. Chair Temple, I think you are clear to close this portion of call of the audience and move on. Did you hear me, Mr. Temple? You're clear to close the call to the audience, and we can move on when you're ready, sir.
Okay. Brandon, help me on getting that started. Whereabouts?
Yeah. So just again, for formality, you as the chair, just go ahead and state that we are closing the call to the audience, and then we can move on to presentation.
Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. This is to officially close the call to audience. Now we're going to move into the section of presentations. And Brandon, you want to take the lead on this then?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So presentation item is West Lambert Lane Park Nature's Playbook Preservation by Mr. Andrew Hogan. We do have Mr. Hogan on the line. I'm going to get him queued up, and he does have a presentation, so give me a moment to get that on the screen as well.
And as Brandon's getting that up, I would like to, when we put the staff report together, we called it Nature's Playbook, and it's actually called Nature's Notebook. And Mr. Hogan and his lovely wife, Joanne, will be giving the presentation together. So with that, take it away.
All right. Mr. Hogan, give me 1 second. I'll pull that your presentation up on the screen. Okay. Mr. Hogan, you're hearing us okay?
I'm here.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to make sure. All right. And there is your presentation. So however you would like to begin.
Thank you. My wife Joanne and I moved to Oro Valley in 2003. And in 2006, we completed our training as docents at Tohono O'Toole Park. About 4 years later, one of the members of your board invited us to do nature tours at West Lambert Lane Park. And we did that for about 3 years. We hadn't done anything since then. At any rate, at Tohono O'Toole, where we remained docents, we became interested in phenology and set up a phenology trail at Tohono O'Toole Park, which was going nicely until the pandemic came along and they closed the park and we didn't have anything to do. So we decided to go back to West Lambert Lane Park and explore that at the possible phenology trail site. So that's what brings us here today. These pictures that you see on the screen are all phenology pictures that we've taken since we began making observations late March of this year. Next slide, Brandon. Okay. Our phenology activities are related to the National Phenology Network, which is based here at the University of Arizona. And it's a large consortium. Many scientists and different agencies across the country are involved in this and compiling databases. Our part of this is, and the other screen, other side of the screen, the Nature's Notebook. This is the citizen science part of the National Phenology Network, and it's involved in individuals, some scientists, but a lot of citizen scientists like ourselves, who go out and observe nature, observe the changes in plants and animals over the season, and record this information that goes into a large database. So go to the next slide, please. Phenology, as I mentioned a second ago, is the study of changes in plants and animals over the course of the season. And the problem that we face now is that this is changing due to the changes that we're experiencing in the climate. Plants and animals count on each other doing their thing at the right time, and the changes in the temperature and rainfall and things like that can change those coordinations that the plants and animals need, and this of course can lead to some. Sometimes good, but sometimes very disturbing changes in our environment. And there's really only one way to keep up on this, and that's to go out there and look at things, keep track of them, make notes, collect the data, so that over a period of time, because of natural random variation, over a period of time, we can see if some changes are taking place and whether there's anything we should do about it. Next slide. So this is West Lambert Lane Park. Well, the sort of the part in between the two hills of West Lambert Lane Park. It's a dry riparian area. And as I said, this went back in 2010 or 11 when we did the nature walks. This is where we spent most of our time. There's a number of different plants in here that are followed by Nature's Notebook. Not every plant is a candidate to be followed by the National Phenology Network. But these are the ones that we located. This is not a very long trail. It's pretty easy to do. People don't really need to be hikers to be able to do this. But in the right time of year, not now with the drought, but in the right time of year, it can even take experienced people like us a half an hour to get through this short trail if we're observing the plants and the animals. And so we think this is an activity that people might enjoy, some people might enjoy, and it's something safe to do now during the pandemic. Can I see the next slide? So this is the first page of what we think will be something like the information sheet that the Parks and Rec will make available on the website so that people can identify the plants. You've seen the map, they'd be able to identify the plants, and these are pictures of the plants that they would be looking for these kinds of changes in the plants. So there'll be four seasonal changes in the plant. So there'll be four. Right now, as we have worked on it, there's four sheets of these things that people would take with them to help identify the plants. Next slide. And so if any of you are interested in this, you can sign up for an account on Nature's Notebook. It's free. Just search on Nature's Notebook. If you do it on the computer, this is what the screen will look like when you come to West Lambert Lane Park. This is the left-hand side is the data entry portion of it. You can see some, not all of, but most of the plants are listed in there. And on the other side, oops, can you go back one, Brandon? Yeah, there you
yep.
go.
My apologies.
On the right-hand side, you see the Oro Valley Park's phenology trails are part of the Tucson phenology trail. So if you would like to join this, you would, with your either online or on the telephone app, which is probably the easiest way to do this, you would hit the join button and then it would bring up a list of places that you can join. You go down to the Tucson Phenology Trail. From there down to Oro Valley Parks, we're right after Oracle State Park and a little bit ahead of Tohono O'Chua Park. These are my selections. You can see the little check marks there. So you would check next to West Lambert Lane Park and you'd be it'd be on your phone and you'd be ready to go to collect data. So I think that's probably our summary of what it is that we've proposed to do.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Christy, do you have anything else for this item?
Thank you. I'm muting and unvideoing. I don't. I just want to thank the Hogans for their volunteerism. During our COVID closing, our team worked really hard in developing a really strong platform for our volunteer program. And that had been one of our 2-year strategic goals. And Andrew and Joanne are very first official Park and Recreation volunteers. And they have already hit the ground running, and I just want to thank them for their work that they've already done for us. And we're looking to kind of grow that program and do some youth enrichment and education related to phenology out of this as well. So, and then I'll open it up to the PRAB if they have any questions or comments for the Hogans. All right, it looks like there aren't any. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate all the work that you have already done for us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you, or mute you rather, and turn your video off. And thank you again for your time.
You're welcome.
Chair Temple, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. I would like to also add, on behalf of myself and the board, our sincerest thanks to Andrew and his wife on the endeavor, type of volunteerism that makes Oro Valley what it is. Again, our thanks. The next item is Council Liaison comments, and I was to check and see whether Council Member Joyce Jones Ivy is with us this evening.
Yes, Chair Temple, she is here, and I believe she has some words to say.
I certainly do. Thank you, Chairman Temple. And I just want to welcome everybody back from probably what has been the most interesting summer of a lifetime. I have a few updates. I want to share with you that the Council did approve our FYI 2021 budget. We're very, very proud of this budget. It is a 5.1% decrease over last year's budget. We tried to make it as fiscally conservative as possible, given the uncertainty with COVID, though our finance department is assuring us that we are going to fare well as a result of this. Also, I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but I do want to thank TEP for putting in the solar panels into Naranja Park. There was four of us that did a virtual ribbon cutting. So this new way that we're communicating by Zoom is, it's going to be interesting. So they're there for the park visitors to enjoy those accessories. And again, I want to just thank TEP for choosing us for that. Also, we are, and when I say we, I mean Oro Valley, we're number one in Arizona for census. I don't know if you all have been made aware, but a federal judge here in the state did extend census taking to November 7th, I believe that it is. So if you have not reported or you're aware of someone in the community that still needs to, please advise them that they can continue until that date. Also, as a result of our election, we have two new council members, Tim Bowen and Mo Green. We are going to be seating them on our first meeting in November, which will be November 4th. I encourage all of you, it will be a Zoom meeting, to join us to welcome them and to say farewell to Rhonda Pena, as well as to Bill Rodman. They have dedicated their 4 years to giving us the best of them. And so, again, if you will please join us to welcome our new members and thank Councilman Pena and Rodman for their service, we would certainly appreciate that. As a result of COVID, the town has set up a service that we are calling OV Safe Steps. It is now off the ground, and it is for our over 500 businesses, our small businesses here in Oro Valley, to help them get necessary PPE, signage on their floor with social distancing. This program will be developing into services where we're actually going to be able to offer one-on-one assistance in areas that businesses will be needing: legal, HR, marketing, and development. And so, again, if you know anyone in our, any businesses in our community that can take advantage of that, please refer them to our website. The Chamber is very involved with us in this to make this a success. Tomorrow evening, we will have our council meeting, and I want to invite you all to please participate in that. It is going to be a series of pretty much, we're going to run the gamut tomorrow night. We're going to have a regular meeting that will involve two public hearings where we're going to be looking at EE zone pre-grading issues. And then we're going to also end it with a study session where we're going to be looking at setbacks and making some possibly necessary changes for administration, and that's PNC administrative staff, to make minor decisions in setback changes that will not require them to come back to council for approval and slow that process. But again, it will be very, very minor changes. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Temple, the floor is yours. I think we are clear to move forward.
Okay. All right. I want to extend my thanks to Council Member Jace her input is always valuable during when we have these monthly meetings. We're going to move on to the regular session agenda. Before we do, I would like to officially go on the record that I will allow public comments and questions on the following items, items 2, 3, and 4. This is being done in the spirit of opening up the public to what we're doing so that we can have the benefit of this, as much input and suggestions as possibly can. Penny, would you like to read the first item?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Regular session agenda item number 1 is review and approval of the May 19th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any changes to the May 19th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes?
Yeah, this is Matt Wood. I just had a couple of things that I spotted, and one that Pat Sturman spotted for me. It's on the on page 3 in the minutes. Billy Casper is spelled with a C instead of a K, just to be correct. And also in the background and detailed information section, it should be Quarry Pines instead of Query Pines. And the last one was spotted by somebody else, and it's Arizona National rather than Tucson National is the one of the other customers of the new group that's running Elcon for us. So that's all I had.
Any other changes?
Am I live, Brandon?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. If there isn't any other comment, I will move to approve the changes. May 19, 2020 regular session meeting. May I have a second?
Is that?
I think Member Odell was first to the plate there.
Okay. Brandon, would you please be kind enough to have a roll call?
Absolutely. So again, we'll do a kind of a roll call vote just in the spirit of the Zoom meeting. So it'll be the same order as the roll call earlier in this meeting. And this is, again, just to approve the minutes with changes. Member Cochueta?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Member Coyle?
Yes.
Member Odell?
Approve.
Member Saleta?
Aye.
Member Wood?
Approved.
And Chair Temple?
Approved.
All right. Looks like we got 7-0. Chair Temple, I think we're clear to move on to item number 2. If you want me to read that.
Okay. Please.
Got it. So regular session agenda item number 2 is introduction and discussion regarding new golf operator Ontario's Golf.
Thank you, Brendan. I will take the lead on this and then we'll introduce the new general manager. And so as you know, we've went through a formal RFP process and the award was given to Antares Golf. They officially started July 1st. Antares is formerly known as Billy Casper Golf. And there's in the staff report that was in your agenda packet, there's just a brief overview in terms of kind of some of the highlights from their submittal. I kind of reiterate what Councilmember Wood had said previously in the council report. It says that that Arizona facilities that Antares currently manages, it includes Tucson National. That is incorrect. They manage Arizona National. And so I just wanted to make that clear to the group. And with that, I have asked the general manager, Bernie Eaton, just to say a few words, introduce himself, talk high level in terms of Antares, who they are, a little history, and a couple of the initiatives that they're looking to do moving forward for our golf operation. So with that, Bernie Eaton.
Thank you, Christy. Well, good evening, everyone. And I'm a pleasure to introduce myself. My name is Bernie Eaton. I'm the general manager at El Conquistador Golf and representing Antares Golf. And for those of you that don't know much about Antares, we own, lease, or manage over 150 properties, mainly dealing in municipal and HOA golf courses in Arizona, specifically in Tucson. As Christine has been mentioned, we do manage Arizona National Golf Club and Quarry Pines. We're very excited about being here at El Conquistador Golf, and some of our initiatives that we're really looking forward to is becoming a partner in the community. And we have already reached out to the Hilton Resort and have been able to put together some nice stay and play packages with the resort. Also within the community, we look forward to working with Christy and the Parks and Recreation Department in providing our goal is to provide a fun and enjoyable experience for everyone at El Conquistador, whether that's golf or dining. And golf will take on some traditional forms and some non-traditional forms, whether those are nine-hole formats or reduced-hole formats or anything that we can attract the greatest number of people to use the facility. And that's really, really our goal is to expose the facility to the greatest number of people within Oro Valley. That includes youth with PGA Junior League and some after-school clinics. That would include adults with Get Golf Ready and grow the Game of Golf initiatives. We've also have been spending time so far redesigning the menu for the Overlook and creating a very exciting happy hour menu that when we do get open for the restaurant, we are very excited about the happy hour offerings and the environment that we will create. In terms of some other programs that we've been working on, we have launched a mobile app at the start of this month for those that are looking to play the facility. So we already have over 200 downloads in the first 2 weeks, and that will generate some play amongst people in the community with some loyalty programs and some offerings. And staff-wise, everyone else has remained in place and is doing a fantastic job. And our scores continue to be outstanding on our online reviews and customer service. So we are very excited about being here and partnering with you to make El Conquistador Golf a success.
Thank you, Bernie. Great. I mean, really good high level introduction. One of the key pieces that I really appreciated in the proposal was the fact that Antares Golf is focusing on promoting El Conquistador. El Conquistador Golf and Play, they're not in the business of promoting themselves. And so that really is a real shift in philosophy, and which really shows focus to our facility and our local facility. And so, we've seen record numbers in date and daily fee play, because golf is one of the opportunities with COVID for people that can recreate, which is, I think, going to be trending really well in terms of either introducing new people to golf or reintroducing people that hadn't, come out and swung a club in a while. So we're very excited, have already, they've hit the ground running. And so with that, if there's any just general questions or clarification questions for Bernie, he's happy to be here, happy to answer them. All right, Bernie, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
All right. Chair Temple, this is one of the items you indicated you would allow for public comment. So now is the time to open up that public comment again, just for this item.
We'll start with if there is any comments that are coming from the public. So for if you all. I assume there is none, Brandon.
No hand raised at this moment, Chair Temple. I would give it maybe just a minute just to make sure. Sometimes technology can be slow, so let's give people a second.
Understood.
Okay, Chair Temple, I think we are clear to move forward.
Okay. This is the time where there's any comment from one of our board members. This is the time to do so.
Yep, it looks like our board members are content at the moment. So, Mr. Temple, Chair Temple, the floor is yours.
Okay, we'll move on to the next item, item three. You would be so kind as to what that is, Brandon?
Yes, absolutely. Regular session agenda item number three is presentation and discussion regarding the master plan project update and the next steps.
Thank you, Brandon. I have so in your staff report, it's pretty in depth in terms of identifying what the next steps are and putting together a tentative schedule. And later in the agenda, we will be discussing the possibility of adding two additional study sessions. And that's to be specific as it relates to the master plan. So that way, as things within each task are getting done, we're touching base with you and making adjustments as we need them. And so with that, Brandon, do you want to pull the PowerPoint up?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Two seconds, please. All right, Ms. Diaz-Trahan, the floor is yours.
Okay, next slide, please.
Maybe. Hold on. Okay.
So as you recall, we identified this project in two phases. The first phase was the needs assessment. And that really kicked off early this year. And the significant focus of that was community engagement. And so this slide represents really the numbers in terms of the number of folks that we were able to communicate with related to this. So as you know, the project website, the planyourparksov.com, we had over 900 comments submitted there, which is, if you recall back in May when Mike Spetz gave his presentation, he said that's unheard of in many of the other communities that he's put together or he's managed. Our focus group and stakeholder group meetings, those took place in January. We had 37 participants, and those were really, you know, kind of those, we met with the Chamber of Commerce. We met with people from the school district, with the arts groups, the historic groups, the sports groups. So those were real just focused meetings. And then we had a large town hall meeting with over 130 participants in January. And then in February, we did our intercept surveys. And so this was in February and March. And we were, we were at the parks, we were went to the Safeway. You all did that work. And then we had to slam the brakes mid-March because of COVID. But in that effort, we were still able to reach over 400 people to really identify what they wanted. And that was the sticky board project, if you recall. And then we had our statistically valid survey. So that was a mail-in survey. The development of that started in February. They went out mid-March and then completed in mid-April. We had 443 complete surveys, which our goal was 303. So we certainly surpassed our goal. And then we took an abbreviated version of the statistical survey and put on the online survey at the end of April through early May. And we had another 372 completed. And so with that, Mike Spetz from Pros Consulting provided the first phase report to this group at our May meeting. So next, Brandon. And these were the highlights as it relates to recreation programs and services. So this should look familiar to you all. And one of the key things before I sort of do some highlights in this list, and same with the next phase, is next slide that's going to talk about facilities. I want to make sure that while things are in the high and things are in the low, just because it's in the low doesn't mean it's not something that's important to people in our community. It's just that it, in terms of the total number of participants, we had more people, for example, indicate that the community special events were a higher priority than, say, basketball programs. But basketball programs still made the list. I think it's important to recognize that everything on the list here is important to our community. For items that didn't make the list, those would be things that where we would, likely not do or proceed with caution if it was something that would be ancillary. So high priority events, fitness and wellness programs, adult learning, senior program services, and art classes. Medium, walking, jogging, cycling, the performing arts, golf instruction, environmental, ed, pickleball, and open swim. And then in the last category, water, weightlifting, running, et cetera. So again, you all have this list. I just wanted to highlight this was a result of those surveys and community engagement. So next slide, please. Did we miss a slide, Brandon?
Maybe. Let's see. Let me go back. Looks like we're cruising along and in order.
Okay. I thought I had the facility. Oops. Hang on. Sorry. I'll kind of go over the facility. You want to throw that slide back up?
Oh yeah. It seems that seems to be an error on that slide. I've never seen that. So give me one second. Let me get see if I can show it a different way.
Okay.
So we'll have to show it this way. For whatever reason, there's that red box, Christy, and I can't like project it. So I think people can still see it in the screen here.
Okay, and I'll touch on the highlights. So this is related to the facility amenities in terms of high, medium, low. Again, I want to reiterate, just because it landed in the low doesn't mean it's not important to our community. It's just that there are more people in our community that ranked certain items higher and certain items lower. And so with that, I'll use my sheet here. So in terms of facilities ranking in the high were trails, both natural and multi-use paved, open space conservation, neighborhood parks, restrooms, large community parks, performing art venue, and community gardens. Next within the priority list in the blue, golf, dog parks, community recreation center, playgrounds, pavilions, amphitheater, aquatics facility for recreation pool, aerobic dance room, dance floors, aquatic splash pads, and pickleball courts. The facility amenities and in the green, environmental ed, a disc golf, tennis courts, skateboarding, bicycle park, banquet meeting rooms, basketball, volleyball, indoors, baseball, softball, sand volleyball, remote control, hobby facility, football, soccer, lacrosse, it's kind of those rectangle sports, if you will, dirt, bike path, BMX track, basketball, volleyball, outside, archery, and more aquatic facilities. As you can see, there's a bit of a correlation between what people want to do and the facility in which to do that. So, walking and health and fitness and community events really are important in terms of performing arts venues, large community parks, trails, open space. So there's a lot of correlation between those two. And again, this is all based on that community engagement process that we did on phase one. Now we're ready to go to the next slide, Brandon.
Yeah, I was able to get it up so everybody was able to see that just for your
information. Oh, terrific. Thank you.
No problem. So let's go to the next one and we'll go full
screen. All right. So phase two, these are the tasks. So in the packet that you got previously, each one of these tasks is written out in a little more detail. So for the sake of efficiency, I'm just going to identify the tasks. And then if we need to talk detail, if you're interested, then we'll just jump back to the staff report. So this next phase, the work that's being done is park classification and levels of service, a connectivity analysis, geographical analysis and equity mapping, prioritized facility and program priority rankings, recreation programming assessment, resource and funding analysis, a partnership review, capital improvement program, and funding and revenue strategies for CIP, conceptual site plans, and that's when it really gets fun. And then in closing, the vision, mission, goals, and objectives. Next slide. And so here's the work that is the heavy lifting that our consultants are doing, staff is doing, and then you all with regard to touch base and touch points. So today we're just reviewing the upcoming schedule. I'm hopeful that we will approve three study sessions, the first one being in October. And so if you look at this, the cadence of it is we're going to be meeting monthly through February, specific as it relates to this project. So we'll do a study session and review the summary of the facility assessment, the classifications, the standards, the equity mapping, and then the framework of the conceptual plans. We're going to need action regarding the framework of the concept plans. So that way the consultant and their team can begin the development of the concept plans. And then late November through early December, so that's about a two and a half week time piece in there, The Tanawara Valley has a new, we launched a new website back in May, I believe, April or May. And there's a section in, on there called Discuss. And so we're going to use that tool and use that function to get feedback to the conceptual site plans. And so as a reminder, we will have five concept plans: the community center, Naranja Park, JDK Park, Riverfront Park, and Steampunk Ranch. So what we will do is we will put all five of those concept plans on the website. So you'll just go in to discuss, people will be able to look at them, and then provide comment on the plans, if things that they like, things that they don't like, things that might be missing, might want to do more of or less of. And so that will give give you all an opportunity to hear what the community is saying before we present the final concept or the draft concept plans to you in, let's see, when is that happening? Connectivity, on December 15th. So that way you will know what the community has provided feedback to. So that way when we're talking to you, you have that good base framework, and we will as well. So that way we can make some adjustments to any of the drafts that went out in November. Sorry about that. I just had something fall off my desk. We're going to do a touch base with the council. I'm not sure if we're going to add a study session in there, or we'll jump onto a regular council meeting. That's still yet to be determined, but, kind of review again, all of the work that has been done and that has been vetted through you all. And so we'll do that at the end of this year, early next year. Then we will have our, regular meeting in January, on January 19th. And from there, we'll need action to be taken. And then the February meeting, the perhaps special session, that is where the draft master plan recommendation. So that's the full plan. And then from there, we'll make any changes or modifications that are necessary based on your feedback. And then we will take it to council in February for a recommendation for adoption, and then in March for the final adoption. So this is our tentative plan. You know, if things go a little askew, we have some capacity in there where we can either add an additional meeting or make some adjustments, but that's the direction that we have for now. And so with that the schedule is also included in your council report. And so Brandon, if you want to take this slideshow off, and I'll open it up to questions if there are any.
Christy?
Yes, sir.
Joe Quaylier. On your slides where you had the one that listed the prioritization, you know, high, medium, and low from the folks, as well as then the facilities in terms of high, medium, low. Not to create work, but has there ever been an analysis done by staff that says, okay, we got all these needs, got these facilities, here's the ones that we have now, and check them off, and here's how much we're spending for them now. Just kind of to give give PRAB a sense that, oh, well, you know, yeah, these high ones were marked 1, 3, and 5, and we've got it, and we're spending money now. This one that's marked 6, we don't have it, and haven't spent any money on it yet.
Board Member Coyle, so that work will be done in a couple of the different phases. And so one will be the equity mapping. Mm-hmm. So even if we don't own the, say, a trail, but a trail exists, that'll be included in the equity mapping. And so you know, if do we need to add more, or, you know, or do we need to add a connection? So right. that's the component that we'll be looking at. And then as we look at funding strategies and cost recovery, that's where we will be addressing the fees, as well as, you know, the cost, the cost of a level of service. So for example, the multi-use path, those are free. We don't charge them, but it still costs us, but they're important to our community. They're important to a recreation system. But that will be included in those phases.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chair Temple, did you have your hand raised?
Yes, I only wanted to reach out at this point in time for the board to comment questions. Would this be the appropriate time to have Duncan Caldwell, who's got an earlier interest, to be able to comment?
So Mr. Chair, we can rearrange our little script that I gave you. So if you want to allow for the board members to finish discussing or asking Ms. Diaz-Trahan any questions, and then feel free to open it up for public comment, and I will let you know who raises their hand. Mr. Caldwell is more than welcome to raise his hand. So any other discussion by board members?
I had a quick little, I noticed that a lot of the parks and, it's all parks recreation, but the youth programs as far as summer camps and things, that's definitely something we're going to continue, right? Because I noticed just about all those things were in the low priority.
Vice Chair Clark, that was my point. And just because it's in the low priority doesn't mean it's not important to our community.
Right.
And so, and if you look at our demographics, right, we have a nearly 50% population that likely don't have school-age children. And so that really wouldn't be particularly important for them as far as how they recreate, but it's still important to our community. So still having that type of programming and having the space for those programs, we will absolutely continue to do.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Looks like the board member commenting is done, Chair Temple. So if you would like to open it up for public comment, go ahead and do so.
Yeah, at this particular point in time, I would open it up for public comment. This may be the opportune time for Duncan to have his 3-minute session with us.
Yep, absolutely. We have a few hand raised. Give me 1 second. I got to reset our clock in the background here. So it looks like the first to raise their hand was Michael. Michael, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce the last name. I'll unmute you and I'll let you introduce yourself and remember to state if you are a resident of Aurora Valley.
Hi, thank you. Michael Bilodeau, and I am a resident of Aurora Valley. Christy, I had a question, sort of taking a look at the agenda that you had there, where a conceptual plan, it sounds like is going to be presented for a number of parks fairly early in the process, and the master plan will be something that comes later. Have those conceptual plans already sort of been decided on what's there, and how is the mapping done between sort of the priority, the ranking that came out of the surveys in phase one, determine what kind of conceptual plans will be put out there. The order seems a little strange to me, where there's a ranking where the community said what they need. Master plan isn't going to be approved until March, but conceptual plans are going to be presented in October. And that's my question.
Chair Temple, Christy, what we do is we take down all these questions and we generally answer them at the end of the open call versus stopping the clock, because that's how it's supposed to be handled when it comes to a call to the audience. I know you would like to, but we try not to get into a conversation with folks across the dais, so to speak, and even in cyberspace. So if there are more questions, we can take them down and answer them all at the end if you would.
Sounds good. Everyone, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. Give me a moment here to let Zoom catch up. There we go. Sorry about that. I hope it's still moving a little slow. Thanks for bearing with me. Give me 1 second. I want to make sure that we can proceed without any hiccups. We do have one more individual with their hand raised, but I apologize. I've kind of lost my controls here, so I may have to restart this. Give me 1 second.
That might be Mr. Caldwell.
It is Mr. Caldwell. We're not trying to avoid him, I promise.
I can unmute him if you need me to.
So give me a second. I think everything's coming back. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. We're rocking and rolling. All right. Next on the list is Duncan Caldwell. He has his hand raised, so I'm going to unmute him and we will hear from him.
All right. Hello, everyone. The board and Ms. Diaz Tran, you guys hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. Man, technology is fun. I prefer these things in person. So I'll just jump right into it. So my name is Duncan Caldwell. I'm an Oro Valley resident. I've lived here with my wife, Carol Jones, who's a pathologist at Ventana Medical Systems. I have a 5-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter. So we've been here about 5 years. I'm the membership director and treasurer for Tucson Off-Road Cyclists and Activists. We're a nonprofit mountain bike advocacy group. I've spent about the last 10 years or so in mountain bike advocacy, in 3 different states. Donated, volunteer hours, thousands of hours, rehabilitating trails here locally, for all user groups, collaborating with whatever local land manager is in charge of that particular piece of land. Excuse me, I'm speaking tonight to highlight the need to include bike park, playground, pump tracks for the OV or Oro Valley Master Plan. I'd like to challenge the board to think outside of the traditional flat fields, playgrounds, and other amenities that we have to add a more diverse and outdoor recreation opportunity. Having bike parks is a crowning amenity, honestly, for our already really great park and recreational facilities. My family enjoys them immensely. Bike parks are growing around Arizona and the world. Flagstaff just completed the Fort Tuttle Bike Park. There's multiple jump lines, 2 pump tracks, and low-risk technical riding areas for people to practice playing around on their bikes. Sedona has one as well. It's well-established and constantly growing. The Phoenix area alone has 4, and it looks like they're looking to add another one here in the next year or so. These parks are bicycle.
1 minute warning.
Pardon?
1 minute warning. Sorry.
Oh, 1 minute already? Man, that went fast. Okay. I pred this out and it didn't go that fast. So basically, these parks enjoy a broad user group. I've had my kids on bikes since they're 18 months old. And I've been to these parks and seen people enjoying them as late as they can ride a bicycle. We've made 2 trips to Fort Tuttle in just the last couple months to go camping. My wife, who does not ride bikes, on our second trip said, can we bring my bike that I don't ride so I can play on these playgrounds and ride on a pump track and ride these jump lines? And she honestly had a lot of fun. These parks require very little maintenance. So if you look about return on investment, capital investment from the city, once they're built, they're pretty much there. You don't got to mow them, seed them, water them, cut the grass, any of that kind of stuff. Just a little bit of annual maintenance here or there, depending on how they're built and the materials they're built with. I've already been in contact over the last 4 years. I've been talking to the PRAB and the city. And Ms. Diaz Tran, she's aware, kind of the, I've been plugging away at this for a while. So I'm glad.
That's time, sir.
Can I'm almost done. Can I just wrap up like 30 seconds?
The 3 minute timer is done. We got to limit it to 3 minutes.
Alrighty then.
All right. I do apologize. As you can see on my, my face is kind of frozen here. So my Zoom has completely frozen up on us. So don't have controls at the moment. So I'm going to have to revert to restarting it. So you're going to lose my face for a second, but I will be right back and we will proceed.
So, Chair Temple, I don't know that we need to wait for Brandon to continue. Looks like he is back.
Oh,
I knew that was fast.
Yeah, I apologize. Computer's being being grumpy.
And so, maybe I should wait to see if there are any more public comments before I jump in. It doesn't look like it, but we'll give one last moment. No. And so I, to circle back with Mr. Bilodell's and Mr. Caldwell's comments. And so with regard to the concept plan, so the concept plans, again, they're the draft plans will be daylighted in November. And so late November, November 23rd, and the general public comment will be available December 9th. There was a question with regard to the connectivity analysis. It's going to be presented to the PRAB on December 15th, but it doesn't mean that we're waiting for the connectivity analysis to be done before the concept plan. A lot of the work behind the scenes will be is done and will be those connectivity components will be included in the not in those concept plans, but it'll be included in the equity mapping as well as the analysis in and of itself. If there is connectivity within a park that is, say, a missing gap, and I'll just use Naranja, for example. So if there's opportunity for additional loops or better connectivity, it would the connectivity work will be included isolated to that park. So there's a few different components related to that. Hopefully I was able to answer your question. And then as it relates to the bike park and pump track, yes, I've come to know Duncan quite well over the past couple years and his passion and many people's passion for the biking community. And as you know that, you know, the mountain biking has really grown over the last several years as a recreation choice for people, young and old alike. While I can't say it's going to make the list, we don't know that yet. We're still working on those concept plans and looking at facilities, natural surface trails were included in here. The need for bicycle groups and clubs and lessons were included for recreation, fitness and wellness programs were included. So just, kind of depending on how we things shake out, we can do that. But my experience with pump tracks and bike parks, they're relatively inexpensive to build as well as maintain. And so looking at, to Mr. Coyle's point, the cost, the cost of doing business and the fact that we want to present an implementable plan to the council, that may be a recreation amenity that rises to the top.
Thank you, Christy.
You're welcome.
Mr. Andrews, it does look like we have a Michael Bilodeau that raised his hand again. I believe we're we're done with the public comment. Is that correct?
I saw the same thing. And what we might want to do is, if Christy could give him some contact information, he could contact her offline and get some better answers to the question, maybe outside of the meeting, since we've ended that part of the meeting.
Okay, I can do that. And I do have Mr. Bilodeau's contact information, and he has mine. So yeah, we'll connect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for putting up with technology as well. I am back, and I think we are ready to proceed. Chair Temple, when you are.
Okay. Before we move to top four, general question, is there anyone that wants to pause for the cause, or do you want to just continue this? Anyone want to raise your hand?
Looks like we're ready to proceed here. Yes.
All right, Chair Temple, you want me to move forward and read item number four?
Please.
All right, regular agenda item number four is presentation and discussion regarding fiscal year 2021 Parks and Recreation budget overview.
And we have a PowerPoint?
Yes, we do. And I believe it's up on the screen. Should be good to go.
Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to give a highlight, just in a high level direction that we're charging forward with this year. So the first couple slides just show where we ended last year financially. And then the next couple slides will identify some highlights related to the general fund as well as the community center fund. So next, Brandon. So this is a graph showing last fiscal year, 19-20 budget to actual. In total, we came in about $330,000 under budget. Each of the funds, with the exception of Recreation and Culture, came in under budget. And that's not because Recreation and Culture went crazy. It's because we did a staff reassignment that had previously been in the administration budget. And then went to Recreation and Culture, and that staff reassignment occurred after the budget was approved. So that's the only reason that number is skewed. But in total, we ended the year, as I said, with $330,000 in savings. And, you know, that is also a reflection of kind of shutting things down mid-March because of COVID, some personnel savings, but a lot of, you know, event and programmatic savings, as well as just kind of slowing down on some projects. So next slide. The community center fund also, so the contracted operating expenses, as you can see, that came in under budget. The town operating expenses in total, let's see, where are we? The percent change, we came in under by about $500,000. The capital and the transfer out is flat. The transfer out is related to our energy efficiency project, as well as paying back debt service. Next. So general fund budget highlights. So the general fund, as a reminder, is the administration division, park management, recreation and culture, and aquatics. And so overall, it was a reduced budget, primarily due to reduction in travel and training, no out-of-state travel, and very little in-state travel. We do still have some capacity for some virtual conferences, which I'll talk a little bit about in my department report. And then we also had a reduction in special event and recreation programming. As we were developing this budget, we were in the throes of COVID, and we had to make some assumptions related to special events. And specifically for the fall, we made assumptions that the numbers would be down significantly. And, you know, at that point, we were all playing with the crystal ball, trying to understand. And our thought was, even if, you know, there was a miraculous return to some sense of normalcy, there would still be some caution for people wanting to go to large group gatherings. So that's where that reduction was. And same with recreation programming, primarily for the fall programs. And that's where that reduction was. We do have some significant projects that we are looking to tackle this fiscal year. So we are kind of phase two with the Naranja Park Playground Project. We had funding that was a dual fiscal year funding. That's kind of a strategy that we use in order to fund large projects. So it needs to carry over. So we're looking to get that completed this fall. And I'm hopeful that we can do a live in-person ribbon cutting versus a virtual one, but that is yet to be determined, and I'll definitely keep y'all posted on that. The master plan, we expect to complete that early 2021. We received a grant from the Arizona Game and Fish Department for a restroom at the Naranja Park Archery Range, and we expect that to be completed early 2021. The Oro Valley Fast Pitch Softball Organization came to us with some funding and a request to upgrade the batting cage at Riverfront. And so that project was one that we will be tackling, and that should be completed early 2021. And then at Steam Pump Ranch, we have a half a million dollar project, $550,000, to do a restoration of the garage. And we're looking at late spring, early summer for that project. And a lot of it is just kind of cash flow and also just management flow. Our procurement department is pretty busy right now. And so once that's completed, the Recreation and Culture Division staff will be moving out to Steam Pump Ranch, and then they'll be able to begin programming out of the garage, and as well as using the ranch for that. So we're looking forward to that project. And then in tandem with the garage, we will be addressing some improvements at the Push House. And so the Push House is the one, it's the old 1800s adobe building, and that one had already been restored with the Pima County Bond Project funds. And we will be adding a fire suppression system and a security system to that building, so that way it can be ready to do some displays from a historic displays that we can borrow from the State Museum. And we'll do that at the same time that we're doing the garage. So next slide, Brandon. The Community Center Fund and Terrace Golf. So they are looking to do a financial improvement from their projections, from the actuals to our projections. We're looking at about an $800,000 improvement, financial improvement by utilizing Anteris. The council had approved a pay-as-you-go capital project for irrigation improvements. And so we look to do the Kenyatta course first, and we look to start that in May of 2021. And that work will be done through the summer. And Terrace has indicated that we will not need to do a full course shutdown, that we'll likely just take a couple holes offline. So we'll still have people still be able to play. While it won't be 18 holes, it, you know, in the heat of the summer, you know, maybe playing 17 or 16 will be just fine. But they've had experience with that, with large construction projects. And then depending on the fund and the vitality of the fund, the second irrigation project will be done. It will start, in May 2022. And then, as Bernie indicated, a new menu, new look for the Overlook They're looking to do some, you know, just some fun community, not menus, but events that will help generate more business here, more non-golf business to the facility. And then the community center, we do have some reduced programming, and that again is primarily due to COVID. We have refinished the fitness room flooring. We will be putting a touchless door entry exit by the pool. And then we will also be installing some lighting in the pickleball courts that we constructed last year. And I believe that's the last slide, right, Brandon?
Let's find out. Yep.
Yep. And so with that, I can open it up if there are any questions in terms of the highlights for that we have coming up this year.
And again, Chair Temple, we can switch the order that I had on the script there, so we can do board comments before public comments. So.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Chair Temple, quick question for Christy. Christy?
Yes, sir.
Just a point of clarification. Am I correct that the general fund underrun cannot be applied to capital programs or projects, procurements of projects?
Can you say that again, please? The general fund?
You had a $300,000 general fund underrun that was in the beginning of your slide. That could not have been applied to capital procurements or project facilities projects, correct?
Correct. So that that any savings is rollover to the
general
next
fund.
Year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and then, yeah, correct.
Thank you.
Looks like that should be it for board member comments. Chair Temple, if you want to now move forward with opening it up to public comment.
I will officially open it up if there's anyone out there in the public that would like to make a comment, feel free to do so.
Or good to
I believe we're ready to go to the next agenda item.
Okay. Brandon, did you want to introduce it? I can go ahead and do it. It's next agenda item number 5 is the discussion possible action to schedule study sessions related to the master plan project for the dates of October 20 and December 15, 2020, and ultimately ends on February 9, 2021. Christy, I'll turn this over to you.
Thank you, Chair. So as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of work ahead of us, and your comments and your feedback and your input are, this is where the heavy lifting, and this is where all the good stuff is happening for a Park and Recreation Advisory Board. And so in order for us to get this completed and up for adoption to council in March, we do have the need to add 3 additional meetings. And so my recommendation is just to add, right now we have just the every other, and so just adding one each month. These dates, the first to the one in October and December are the third Tuesday, which is kind of typical for our cadence. In February, though, it's the second Tuesday, and that was really so that way we had time if we needed to that we could and to be ready for our January 19th regular meeting. So with that, I'll leave it open for discussion.
Boy, we're very lively tonight. sorry. Let's see. I really, just to give my input, I do like the idea of the study sessions. Like you said before, there's a lot to go over. We have a new park coming in, you know, lots of, to meet the needs of our demographic here. We live in a truly unique community where we have the needs of the young and the retirees. And so I do think it's important that we definitely meet those needs of everybody in our community. So Chair Temple, this is an action item. So we do need a motion and a second and a roll call vote.
Understood. With that having been said, unless additional comments, I move to approve or deny the addition of the three study sessions outlined by Christy, one on October 20th, second on December 15th of 2020, and the third one on February 9th, 2020. May I have a second?
It's 21. February 21.
One second, please. Yeah. We can't approve, deny the addition of three study sessions. We have to pick one.
Yeah. How come, Joe?
If you're going to approve and deny it, we need one motion. You're either going to approve it or deny it. I think that's a choice. You got to pick one. I suspect you want to approve the addition of three study sessions dated October 20, December.
That's correct.
February 9th. But you said approve, deny, which would confuse the heck out of me, so I'm sure some of the public might be a little misled as well. Well, all we need to hear from you, Mr. Chair, is that you meant to approve.
Okay, we move to have all three of these approved. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Ann.
All right, I will do a roll call vote if the internet connection holds out. Thanks, guys, for your patience. Board Member Cochetta?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Board Member Coyle?
Aye.
Board Member Odell?
I won't be there in October, though.
Board Member Saleta?
Aye.
Board Member Wood?
Aye.
And Chair Temple?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear Mr. Wood.
Aye.
Thank you. And Chair Temple?
Aye.
All right. Good to go there.
Thank you.
Chair Temple, looks like we are clear to move on to department reports.
Okay. We're getting down to the quarter mile pole. Christy, there. Turn this over to you, the department report.
I do. So I have a couple highlights from the last time that we've met. As you know, nearly everything got shut down to include some of our meetings because of COVID. But the aquatic center and the pool at the community center have been open, and it's been people have been so thankful and gracious to have the ability to use the facility. The pools and pickleball courts have also been open. We do plan on opening the community center on Monday the 28th. However, there will be restrictions, and that's specifically related to the public health recommendations. And so it will be by appointment. So you'll have to, log in, schedule the time to come in. The capacity will be reduced to 25%. Face coverings will still be required. And again, those are all the precautionary measures that are a requirement for us to reopen. I can tell you, we are looking forward to that. And we've had feedback from membership that are also looking forward to that. So that's good stuff.
During the summer, this was the first year in my 30 plus year career that I've never done a summer youth recreation program. And it just, you know, it was a tough decision to say no, but it was, you know, ultimately the right decision. That being said, we have some creative staff and they did a Camp Cloud. So they did a Facebook Live, a virtual camp. And it was wildly successful. We made packets and people came over and picked packets up and they did all these crafts and this fun stuff online. So it was a great way to still be engaged with the youth through the summer. And again, just some real talented staff to be able to get that done. We did have a member of our park management team passed away in July, and that really shook us. And so it took us a while to recover. But it was tough. He's, you know, young professional with a young family. And so if you or anyone in the audience is listening and is interested in contributing to their GoFundMe page, just reach out to me. And I'll connect you with that. So it was Juan Lopez, and he every time the professional soccer groups would come out and utilize Naranja Park, he would be given a job offer to go back east and work for them. That was how talented and how personable and attention to detail Juan was. So he will definitely be missed by many who use that facility. A couple, goodness, maybe 6 months ago or so, a lady by the name of Tracy had presented the concept of an angel memorial that you all had approved the fact that, you know, the installation of an angel memorial in Oro Valley would be a good thing to do. Tracy has had some family health challenges, and so that, you know, she's asked to push pause on that project, and out of respect to her. To her, we're doing that, but I just wanted to reassure you that that's a project. We have not dropped that project. We're just putting it on pause until she's ready to come back and re-engage. We have a little change of council liaison. So as you can tell, Brandon is really helping in terms of the technical and media management. And then Marianne Tolmie will be doing the minutes, and she will be our staff liaison. So look for information from her for future meeting announcements or any just general communication. Casey Wilson is still on board, but we're just making some shifts based on workload and the fact that Marianne has done this and works with this system. She's been doing it for many years in her career and loves it. And so she's super efficient. And so that makes really good business sense for us to have Marianne do that. excuse me. The Arizona Park and Recreation Association had their annual conference this year. It was virtual. I believe council member or board member, excuse me, Wood attended. I don't remember. Did anyone else attend? No, I'm not seeing that. Anyway, so it was a good conference. The highlight, in my opinion, though, was the award ceremony where Oro Valley was awarded the Youth Enrichment Program of the Year for Art plus STEM equals STEAM at Steam Pump Ranch. And so that was a surprise to us. It was awesome. And big shout out to Lynn-Ann Dellerman-Silverthorne from our team. That was really her baby. And I can tell you that there's how you name things is really important, because when we started this program, we called it archaeology. We didn't get very many kids. And once we started calling it art at the ranch, art plus STEM equals STEAM, the number skyrocketed, the quality of the program. So kudos to Lynn-Ann and her team on that. I do want to remind everyone that last year I offered to do site tours with the many of you early in the year, and we were able to do a couple, and then of course COVID. But we can still do some site tours, and so we'll just, you know, meet at a certain place and we can walk and talk, and then we'll drive and go to another place. And so I will have Marianne reach out to you all with some dates and kind of blocks of time that are available. And I'll be happy to accommodate that for you as well. And then on a personal note, as many of you know, I coach a club softball team that my daughter plays on. They have practice tonight, as a matter of fact, so I don't have to go. So she hit her first home run over the fence 2 weekends ago, and it was a grand slam.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I was one proud mama, that's for sure. And so with that, that concludes my report. If you have any clarification questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I don't know if you can cover this or not, but what kind of goes along the lines of the report. So are we counting on doing summer programs then this summer, even though we didn't do them last? Well, Joe popped up.
Joe popped up, and I'm so sorry. That would be a great thing for our next agenda item, where you might propose that for your next meeting. I would suggest that, because we really can't get in discussions on specifics during a report. I'm sorry. All
right. No, that's okay.
And may I also add that if there's something that's on your mind that you're curious about, feel free to just to shoot me an email. Whenever, and I can provide that answer, but if it's something that you think would be reasonable to discuss in a report and at the meeting, let me know, and I'll add that to the report. And so that way we can meet Joe Andrews' standards and get your answers, your questions answered.
Awesome, Chair Temple. I think that would conclude the department report section, and we can move on to the future agenda items. And you're welcome to read that portion that I sent you.
Thank you, Brandon. As Brandon stated, the last state's meeting is future agenda items. Just advisory comments. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, May 4th, general topics for future meetings, agendas, discussion, this is key, discussion be led clarification. By calendar, serves me right, the next Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting outside the session is scheduled for Tuesday, November 17th. Is that correct, Chrissy?
That is our next regular
meeting. Again, at 6 p.m.
Yes.
So with that having been said, do we have any items to add to future agenda?
Looks like we are good to proceed, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So further business, I would like to have a motion to adjourn. And before we do that, again, my sincerest thanks to Brandon, Christy, and board members for putting up with an old war horse like me trying to new how to operate new technology. So may I have anything further? I have a motion to adjourn tonight.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
May I have a second?
It's like Member Wood was the second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All right.
Okay. I think the ayes have it. Again, thanks for everybody. We will see you in October. Thank you and good evening.
Good job, Gary.